Assistant Representative Eastman. There he is. Thank you. So I will have my staff present the bill, and we will have our invited testimony to follow. Mr. Greening.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Matt Greening, staff to Representative Louise Stutes. I'm here to introduce House Bill 51, Small Vessel Wastewater Exemption. House Bill 51 would reinstate statutes that exempt the state ferries and other small passenger vessels from large cruise ship wastewater discharge requirements, instead allowing them to discharge wastewater under best management practice plans. Alaska statutes require commercial passenger vessels to have a permit from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation to discharge wastewater into the waters of the state. The effluent limits in the permit are based on the levels of treatment that can be achieved using an advanced wastewater treatment system. An exemption in the statute was made for smaller ships, including state ferries, in recognition of the problems they would have installing advanced wastewater treatment systems on board their smaller vessels. Alternative measures designed to protect Alaska waters and fish, primarily through employment of best practice or management plans and the designation of no discharge areas, were imposed on these vessels. The intent of the best management plans or practices plans is for the vessels to continually improve their wastewater performance. Sampling and monitoring and compliance assistance along with BMP review and approval has generated improved operation of these systems since the program's inception. The exemption language and statute expired on January 1, 2016, leaving the small vessels without a viable means to comply with the statutory permitting provisions. This bill would restore the statutory exemption, along with DEC's authority to require the alternative requirements, such as BMP, for the smaller vessels. Without the changes proposed in the bill, state ferries and small cruise ships would have to install advanced wastewater treatment system technology, which would be cost and space prohibited. Additionally, most small cruise ships and state ferries lack the available space and weight capacity to install advanced wastewater treatment systems, creating potential stability issues. The Department of Transportation and Public Facilities estimates the cost to retrofit ferries is over $5 million.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. Commissioner Harding, please come forward and state your name for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Larry Hartig, Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. Much of what I was going to say was already covered by Mr. Greening, so I'll just try to hit a few high points. Start by saying the DEC supports the bill for the reasons that he mentioned. Our experience with the best management practices plans that we've been using for the small commercial passenger vessels over 10 years now of operations is that we have seen significant improvement in the quality of the wastewater from the vessels. I believe it's working well in terms of protecting the environment, but at the same time assuring the economic viability of our state ferries and small cruise vessels. What this bill would do, HB 51, would return us to what we had before the sunset of the provision in AS 4603462A2 that occurred automatically in 2016. Unfortunately, that change wasn't foreseen by us when we were working on other aspects of cruise ships over the last few years. Came as a bit of surprise, and so we're looking at just reinstate the status quo, which in our minds was working well before that happened. The key provision in HB 51 is Section 4, and I'll just call your attention to this. It says that the best management practices for protecting the environment to the maximum extent feasible is the criteria we use to approve a BMP. That's in Section 4 of the bill. And in Section 4, you'll also find the definition of best management practices. You can see it includes schedule of activities, prohibitions of practices, maintenance procedures, and other maintenance management practice to prevent or reduce pollution of marine waters of the state, end of quote. So this language worked before for us, it worked for the vessels, it worked for the environment, and we urge the passage of HB 51. Unfortunately, I have to run to another meeting, as I mentioned to the chair before, but Ben White, who manages our cruise ship program, including both the large vessels and the small vessels, I might mention the small vessels are 50 lower berths, 249 lower berths. That defines small vessel under state statute, which includes state ferries. But he will be here to answer any questions. I'll be happy to follow up at another time if there's any ones for me.
Thank you, Commissioner. Are there any questions? Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Newman.
Thank you. Welcome, Commissioner. And Commissioner and I have worked on a bill prior to that, related to this a couple of years ago, and so I have some other follow-up questions. And when I'm reading the bill, we get down to, I guess, paragraph 2 in section 2. On page 1, line 11, it says a plan approved under K of this section, and that kind of, that's the nuts and bolts, seem to be the nuts and bolts of the bill. So when I go to section K, which we have on page 2, starting line page 28, it says the owner-operator of a small commercial passenger vessel may submit a plan, so it, for alternative terms, and it may include alternatives, and the department shall. And I'm just kind of looking at the wording there, Madam Chair. And so if I was a small commercial vessel, I may submit it, but I may not submit a plan for how I'm going to do that. So kind of, I don't know what teeth there is in that, in the statute. But then it says the department shall approve a five-year plan. I'm assuming that's not done, or we don't have any specifics on that. For alternative terms and conditions, and the department shall adopt regulations. So it seems like none of this has been done yet. And we're looking at a bill to pass this, but it seems like this whole Section K is the nuts and bolts of this, but there's no concept of where they're going on that. Can we get some thoughts from the commissioner on why the language was used that was used, and where they can do it? If they may do it or may not, then it doesn't mean that they have to. And I'm trying to figure out why we're doing this.
Certainly, Commissioner.
Through the Chair, Representative Newman, the way that 0.462A read before the sunset provision is it had two subsections, so 1 and 2. And these were two alternative paths that a small commercial passenger vessel could take to come into compliance with the overall state requirement to have approval from DEC to discharge wastewater to marine waters of the state. Option one, and that's why it's written in the alternative language, was and would be if this bill passes, is they could elect to go the permitting route that the large cruise ship vessels go, which would mean that they would need to have an advanced wastewater treatment system. And again, they haven't gone that route in the past, but it's available to them. That's the alternative route. So that's the election. And then what they would likely do would be to go the second route, which used to exist and would exist again if the bill passes, and that would be to submit a proposed best management practices plan to DEC, and if it met those other criteria in Section 4 that I read a minute ago, then we would approve that plan. So that's why it's an alternative, but in reality, it would probably go with the second route, the BMP route. Did I answer your question, sir?
Madam Chair, could we get a concept of the idea of what it would look like? I mean, I'm just trying to envision where we're passing a bill here that they're going to write the regs for, but we have no idea what those regulations are going to be or how they're going to be done, how they're written, how they're going to be imposed. And I'm very concerned about the amount of regulations that we currently have and how they're done. And so that would be my question to the Commissioner. If he could get us, or through the Chair, for distribution, some idea of the concepts of where they're going on their regulations on this. I think it's
certainly
only fair. If we're going to pass a bill, we can write the regs. We should know
well,
the
it sounds
are.
To me, and I agree, it sounds to me, Commissioner, and correct me if I'm misspeaking, the regulations are in place.
Yes, Madam Chair, and I think Mr. White can explain what we've been doing the last 10 years. I mean, this isn't something we would have to create. What we're doing is just reinstating what was working before, and we can describe what we had before. And then also, you have others here on the other side, the permitted parties, that could kind of explain it from their end, too.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. This may be a question for the Commissioner. It may be a question for your staff. We're here today in part because the existing legislation sunsetted on December 31st. Is this new legislation one that's planned to sunset again in 5 or 10 years, or are we not planning to sunset this time around?
Through the chair, Representative Quayman, I don't believe it contains a sunset provision. I don't think it's self-renewing in terms of for us to approve a BMP plan, it has to have the best. And so that would be, as technology would move, then we would move with it in terms of what we've required. It's flexible in that way.
That's a regulatory matter, not a legislative matter. If we approve this and there's no sunset, then you all get to update what permits you are going to require as time goes on and technology improves. You don't need to come back to us and say we're changing the regulation to adopt a new technology.
And through the chair, that's why it's also a five-year term on the permit, which would be a standard term for one of our permits, just for that reason.
Thank you, Commissioner. And we're aware that you're running off to another meeting.
Yeah,
so
I appreciate your time.
You're excused.
Thank you.
Mr. White? If you'd state your name and position for the record, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Ben White, Cruise Ship Program Manager, Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation.
Maybe you could address some of Representative Newman's concerns. He seemed to have some issues, and it sounded apparent that the commissioner thought you were right in the spot to be able to help us out here and understand it.
Through the chair, Representative Newman, we do have regulations in place currently, 18 AAC 69.046. Discusses and outlines what is required in a BMP or a best management practices plan. These have been in place since 2006.
Are there any other questions? Representative Kopp.
Madam Chair, I appreciate you bringing forth the bill. It will encourage the good businesses that are operating now and do it in a safe and responsible way with Mr. Hill, is it? Did you put your name?
White.
Mr. White, thank you. It is my understanding that the bill actually changes nothing. We just want to continue doing business the way we are, and we're keeping the current regulations of how we treat these commercial passenger vessels below a certain size the same as it always has been. Is that right?
Through the chair, Representative Kopp, yes, that's true.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a sort of silly semantic question, but I figure this is a good time for it. On the statement we have here, it says H. Bill 51 would reinstate statutes that exempt the state ferries and other small passenger vessels from large cruise ship wastewater discharge requirements. Why would a small passenger vessel have a large cruise ship wastewater discharge requirement?
Through the chair, Representative Wolf. Currently, as Commissioner Hardick mentioned, there's two options for permitting discharge of cruise ships, commercial passenger vessels. One is through the general permit for large vessels, which was issued in 2013. And the other would be this exemption for the smaller vessels. So if the exemption is not existing, then their option is to go through the same process as the large cruise ships.
Okay. Follow up, please.
Follow up.
So basically what you're saying, there's a sort of one-size-fits-all, except it doesn't fit all. So then you get an exemption saying, this system doesn't work for my smaller ship, so I need an exemption instead of having multiple options. It's either take it or leave it, and then you can leave it and get an exemption.
Is that correct? Through the chair, Representative Wolf, that is correct.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. White? Thank you, Mr. White. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Captain Newsom, if you'd state your name and position for the record, please.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Deputy Commissioner Mike Newsom with the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, overseeing the Alaska Marine Highway System. I just wanted to go on the record and state that the Department of Transportation and the Alaska Marine Highway System do support this bill. The best management practices exemption, which this reinstates, is valuable to the Marine Highway System and allows us to continue operating our ships as we have without major expense to comply with large cruise ship discharge standards. And to answer Representative Newman's question earlier as to why the language of may is in there as opposed to shall, may is because the small vessel operators, the marine highway system, can choose to use this alternative compliance method, best management practices alternative compliance method. If they do not choose to use that, then the higher standards of the large cruise ships apply. So it's not required that small cruise ship operators apply for the best management practices, but it's in some cases it's in their best interest to do so. So that's why it's an optional language, I think, in the wording of Section K.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Captain Newsell? Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I hope I didn't hear that wrong, but did I hear that small vessel owners can either decide to upgrade their wastewater or not upgrade their wastewater?
Through the Chair, Representative Newman, I believe that would be correct. There are two options in the bill. The standards that exist for large cruise ships could be complied with by everybody, or the exemption that currently existed, the best management practices plan, which this bill attempts to reinstate, is an alternative compliance method.
Thank you. I have a quick question, Captain Newsell, and maybe you could clarify this for us. Under the current best management practice, what is your water quality compared to, say, the water quality that comes out of the wastewater facility right here in Juneau?
To the Chair, the discharge standards are not, in the best management practices section of the bill, are not specified. There's not a limit specified. The goal of that is continual improvement and improved or better water quality with each successive upgrade to the marine sanitation devices that exist on the ships. In terms of comparison to what the discharge standards are from a municipal wastewater treatment plant, I would refer to DEC to answer that question. They're more familiar with those limits than I am.
Okay, well, and as a follow-up, and in relation to that, we all know that a lot of these series are pretty old. I would presume that they have been upgraded, their wastewater systems have been upgraded over the years, so we're not talking about an antiquated wastewater system that is elimination system that is currently on the ferries.
To the Chair, that is entirely correct. Despite the fact that the ship might have been built in 1963, there have been many upgrades to the marine sanitation devices, the wastewater treatment systems on board those vessels. In fact, the Alaska Marine Highway System vessels, the larger vessels that this regulation would apply to, have all had major upgrades to their marine sanitation device systems in the 2009 to 2011 timeframe as part of the best management practices plan, working with DEC, training with DEC, and under the guidance really of DEC to improve our water quality discharge standards within the limits of feasibility of the space available in the ship to hold that equipment.
And I'm going to have one follow-up question, and that is, Captain Newsell, if the Alaska Marine Highway System were required to upgrade their wastewater system, say, equivalent to what is required of the 250 berth and up, what would that require?
Through the Chair, it would require the installation of what is called an Advanced Wastewater Treatment System, mm-hmm. AWTS, on each of the vessels that would pertain to, currently four in the Marine Highway Fleet. We did have a study done to estimate the cost of that on the motor vessel Taku, and the estimated cost back in 2008 was like $1.25 million to install that Advanced Wastewater Treatment System. So four or five times that for the other ships, plus 2008 dollars to 2016 dollars, it is expensive. Upgrading the entire Marine Highway fleet to meet the advanced wastewater discharge standards would be on the order of $5 or more million.
And what is the space available required for that on the ships?
Right, through the Chair. So the advanced wastewater treatment system is a more complex marine sanitation device to handle gray water and black water discharges and process it accordingly. Those systems are larger in size than the existing marine sanitation device systems that the vessels have on board right now. whether the new systems would fit into the existing marine sanitation device spaces on the ships. Remains to be seen. There may need to be modifications to the actual space to allow the component to fit in there. We have not done advanced detailed studies of exactly what system would be placed on what ship, does it fit, what does it do to the stability. We have estimates at this point from the contractor as to what an advanced wastewater system would cost.
Thank you, Captain Newsell. Are there, Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the Chair, Mr. Newsell, and I don't know if this is more appropriate for you, sir, or DEC, but there are five state ferries this will apply to, I'm reading, and then 10 smaller commercial passenger vessels with carrying capacity between 50 and 249. And looking at the bill draft, it says here that, or actually the comment on the bill draft, I should say, is that to get the approval, your best management plan that you must operate under, it will prohibit you, and I'm thinking about our five ferries and the 10 vessels we're talking about, from discharging in areas that are designated as refugees, sanctuaries, and critical habitat areas under Alaska Statute 1620. Just want to make sure we thought that through, because we know most of Cook Inlet now is a critical habitat for beluga. And is there any areas where those five ferries and those 10 commercial passenger vessels are operating in any of those types of waters that this would catch them by surprise? That is this new? Would this be new, or are they currently not operating in any of those areas? I just want to make sure there's no surprise to them.
Through the Chair, Representative Kopp, correct, and that's a good point. We are very aware and have existing best management practices plans that spell out where the ships can actually discharge and where they cannot. Most recently, the entirety of Puget Sound is becoming a no-discharge zone. That is a proposal. So we looked at that closely. We have ships that run into Puget Sound, obviously, going to Bellingham. Do we have the capacity to store on board or hold on board the wastewater that would normally be discharged during that transit through that no discharge zone and back out to get to a place where you could discharge? And in fact, we do. So the critical habitat areas, the marine sanctuaries, the fisheries areas, we are aware of those. We don't discharge in those areas. We discharge in areas that are further away from shore when the vessel is underway to ensure maximum mixing and pollution rather than in a concentrated site.
Thank you. Representative Clayman.
One of the hazards of not going down, not renewing the statute, is that for small vessel owners, they would essentially be put in this onerous place of having to substantially update and upgrade their vessel so that they could have large cruise ship standard wastewater treatment facilities on board, which actually could, if that caused stability problems with the vessel, it could actually make the vessel itself non-functional. I mean, at kind of an extreme end, if they have to carry a certain quantity of waste on board between places where they can discharge the waste, and that gets to be so large that their stability rating all of a sudden doesn't rate, then you all of a sudden have a vessel that is essentially no longer safe unless they make even more substantial modifications. And so, in fact, our failure to enact this statute would actually have really negative regulatory effects on not only the marine highway system, but negative regulatory effects on existing commercial operators who have actually been complying with the regulations for the last 10 years.
Through the Chair, to Representative Clayman, I believe that's correct. There are potentially unintended consequences of that regulation. As I stated, and I think Commissioner Hartig stated, this best management practices rule has been in place. It's operated very well for the last 10 years. We've significantly improved our wastewater discharge quality. Worked very closely with DEC, and again, fully support reinstating that practice.
Thank you. Representative Newman.
Madam Chair. There's not a carve-out here for state ferries, is there? Where, say, the Taku or some of the state ferries that are older ferries, if they were privately owned, would they still fall under the same standards, or is because they're a state ferry, is there a lesser standard?
The Chair, Representative Newman, good question, especially since the Taku is potentially going to be in private hands soon. The best management practices statute that this would enact requires the operator, owner-operator of that vessel, regardless of whether it's the state or a private operator, to submit to DEC a best management practices plan, which would have to be approved by DEC. So it is not a specific carve-out for the marine highway system. Any owner-operator of that size vessel would have to do that.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Yep. Representative Bull.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One quick question. How about new ferries that are under construction now? What standard would they fall under?
Mr. Chair, Representative Rule, the two new Alaska class ferries do not have onboard processing and underway discharge systems. They are hold and pump ashore. Many of our smaller ferries, the fast ferries, the Alaska class ferries, contain black water and gray water, and once they get back to their home port, since they're day boat or shorter operating vessels, pump that ashore, and it is either piped or trucked to a municipal wastewater treatment facility.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further questions from this committee? Thank you, Captain Newsell. Seeing no further questions, it's the intent of the transportation co-chairs to have House Bill 51 become a House Transportation Committee-sponsored bill, and we would appreciate the committee's consent.
Madam Chair, I would just as soon not do that.
Is that an objection, yeah. Representative Newman?
Yes. Yeah.
I would like to call for a roll call vote, please. Secretary, would you please call the roll? Okay, excuse me. And the motion is that House Bill 51 become a Transportation Committee sponsored bill. Thank you.
Yes.
Representative
Sullivan, no. Representative Newman? No. Representative Drummond?
Yes.
Co-Chair
Wolf?
Yes.
Co-Chair Stewart?
Yes. Would you please announce the votes?
5 yeas, 2 nays.
The motion passes. Thank you. The House Bill 51 will be a Transportation Committee-sponsored bill. Seeing no further business come before this committee, our next hearing will be Tuesday, January 30th at 1:30, and we will be hearing HB 60, the Motor Fuel Tax Bill. Thank you.